This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and a feature review for Hobbs and Shaw. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this big spin-off from the Fast and Furious franchise, the ninth film in that universe, but the first separate from the Fast and Furious selection films. This is directed by David Leitch, the guy who was an uncredited co-director on John Wick, did Atomic Blonde, and then Deadpool 2. It's produced by Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, Chris Morgan, and Hiram Garcia, and the screenplay is by Chris Morgan, who I'm pretty sure has written all of these films, or most of the later ones.
Is that so?
And Drew Pearce, from a story by Chris Morgan. It stars the aforementioned Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jason Statham, Idris Elba, Vanessa Kirby, and Helen Mirren in a cameo. His budget was reported at $200 million.
Really?
It is indeed. And the box office returned so fast to $255, which you might say after a week and more release is a great effort. But actually, compared to The Fate of the Furious, which took in somewhere around about $1 billion in its first couple of weeks, it's not actually going that well. In fact, overall, The Fate of the Furious made $1.235 billion. And there is no way Hobbs and Shaw is going to get that far.
Huh.
The critics are being somewhat forgiving, I think, maybe, of this particular film. It has an approval rating of 66% based on 282 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And over on Metacritic, that which is notoriously difficult to get a high score on, it has a weighted score of 60 out of 100 based on 54 critics, indicating mixed or average reviews. Let's see whether we agree.
Sure.
Wayne, what is this film about?
Well, first of all, everyone knows that this movie came about because The Rock and Vin Diesel don't like each other, and so this is a spin-off with him and Jason Statham. Hobbs and Shaw, then, is about these two Fast and Furious characters who are thrown together again despite hating each other and are forced to work against a big bad guy, Idris Elba, who is cybernetically enhanced. He refers to himself as Black Superman and is also keen on decimating the world's population with a virus called Snowflake. Not sure if that's a comment on race relations or not. I suspect not.
Too deep for this film, my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Too deep.
The snowflake virus gets injected into a skinny blonde woman who is inexplicably the head of a SWAT team. And the movie becomes a race against the clock with a lot of gunfire, explosions, cars, and purposefully over-the-top action scenes. There's no point delving further into the plot of this film because it doesn't have one. Well, barely.
It has
one.
A loosely connected bunch of action scenes.
Absolutely.
And that's what
very loosely. Consider.
Plot. Interesting then. I reckon Snowflake's a reference to Vin Diesel.
Well, The Rock did produce it, so there you are.
Yeah, you can tell he produced it, as we'll get to as we continue through the course of the film review. First of all, no spoilers. We will not be spoiling. Not that there's a whole heap of lot to spoil in this
to spoil, really.
Particular film, but we will keep it spoiler free as we'll give our general impressions. And Wayne, lead us away then. What did you think of Hobbs and Shaw?
Okay. As is customary with every big action film, I am walking in hoping for the best because I'm a fan of action films. While I also expect it to be at least a bit shithouse and tempering my reactions that way. So I know it's supposed to be a ridiculous action film, so I'm always going to be lenient on this thing. Having said that, this movie is a giant, glistening, steamy rectum of a film. It is a total piece of shit. I checked out... Twice. I checked out twice. You ever had that moment in a film where you're like...
Oh, I had that moment in this film.
Oh, yeah. You're like, oh, that's it. I checked out. And then something happened later on. And, oh, shit. I thought I checked out before.
I've checked out harder.
Holy shit. It's like, bad.
Check out two. Check harder.
Oh, God. I was like... Man, was it all in the third act? Actually, mate, I can't remember.
I checked out way
you
before
You checked out
then.
Before the third act?
Way before then.
Yeah,
we'll get to that.
Oh, that's tough. Please.
In due course. That is spoilers as to when I check out and why I check out.
What did you...
I 100% agree. Hobbs and Shaw, more like Nobbs and Boar.
Fair enough. Not bad at all.
This film's garbage. It's garbage from scene one. No, it's not. I take that back. I have exaggerated for hyperbolic purposes. I actually quite enjoyed the opening bit. I thought the split screen, where we're contrasting Hobbs and Shaw with their styles,
I get that.
Was pretty damn cool.
No, it is. It feels like a 90s video game. Like kind of like it's like, oh, these two guys, they couldn't be more opposite, but they're kind of the same, you know.
But you know what? They're going to have to throw together to defeat this potentially world-ending threat.
It could have been
just as well. Exactly. They'll find a way. I said no spoilers.
It's basically a shit version of Tango and Cash now.
Yes.
But a really shit version.
If you want to watch a good version of Nobbs and Boar, watch Tango and Cash.
Yeah, I mean...
Which is still stupid.
It's still stupid, but it's fun and you're having a good time. Over here, this movie is corny. It's corny.
It's shit. It's like it builds itself on the basis of the chemistry between Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham, whom I'm pretty sure they made up before at the end of the last film, by the way.
Well, remember, Jason Statham killed Han in this franchise. Yes. So this is one of his best friends that he diced.
Well,
so
I don't think The Rock was really involved.
That was the other guys. You're right. Okay, I'm fine with that.
But the rest of them should have been hated. But anyway, they were thrown together by circumstances in number 8 to take out a greater villain, Charlize Theron, from memory. And
remember that?
Well, I'm pretty sure The Rock and Jason Statham's characters, Hobbs and Shaw, had worked out their differences. Not like best mates, but they were okay. Like,
So they're not picking up there. I hate this guy.
Yeah, but now we hate each other again. I'm like, are we just treading? What's going on?
Of course we are, man. Of course we bloody are.
Retconned kind of the end of the last film, and we're just.
I mean, there was a history of this. Of imbalance.
They were like,
they could go away and remember that they hated each other. I don't know. I forgot.
Daft. Anyway, once you get past the reasonably okay opening scene, it doesn't take long to establish that. That things in this world, you're not meant to think about them very hard at all. And here is, I often maintain on the show, if you are entertaining me enough that I don't need to think about it, then I will let things slide.
Absolutely.
But this film does not entertain me enough. I was bored. It is 134 indeterminately long minutes.
It definitely feels longer than that.
It's so long. There's a whole extra action scene added on the end. For no purpose other than I think The Rock wanted to have a holiday with his family in Samoa.
Which we are just assuming. I mean, let me clear, to expand on your point, there is nothing wrong with stupid fun. I enjoy it very much. The best example of stupid fun executed correctly in film is the first Kingsman film, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah? Yep.
Okay? That is how you do it right. This is not how you do it right. Okay? Every Fast and Furious film apparently has to be full of bullshit diatribes about family. Right?
Family.
They've obviously identified that as an element that resonates with whatever their target audience is and just has to do it over and over and over. It's a piece of shit. My first problem with it was that the skinny girl is the head of
Vanessa Kirby. Hattie Shaw.
Vanessa Kirby. Yes. Okay. So she's head of the SWAT team. All right, look, fine. Have it. Okay?
Hey, look, she got some good moves, I thought, to be fair to her. In fact, she's probably the best thing about this movie.
That
for me.
I don't know. I can't think of anything good about this movie. she's punching people because that's what you do when you're in SWAT. You punch bad guys and she's punching them and they're flying backwards. But her arm is the same circumference as my finger. So this guy, like I said, I directed Atomic Blonde. He's good at that. Yeah, right? Charlize Theron sold all the action because she overcommits every time she hits. That's the only way you're getting someone to rock backwards. But she didn't do it this time. So okay. I don't know if you had a different DP or what. I'm not sure. But well, I had that.
That's got little to do with DP. I got a lot more to do with fight choreographer. Yeah. But given that David Leitch is himself an ex-stunt guy. And
see, that's why I would have expected more. I'm sure he had something to do with it. And what's with all the fucking fist bumps in this film? Everyone's fist bumping after everything they do. It's a pain in the ass. And they...
pain in the knuckle.
Yeah, pain in the knuckle. I mean, as you may imagine, they spend most of the movies yelling at each other, preening over who's the better actor in your role. And
starts out okay.
I don't have a problem with it to start with. I honestly did
but the longer it goes, the more tiresome it becomes.
And they drag. Some of those sequences drag like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. We're shitting on it, but is there anything good about the movie that you can tell me?
Yeah, I think I said it already. Vanessa Kirby's pretty good.
Vanessa Kirby, I made some notes during the film. There's a scene where Jason Statham and The Rock are somehow fighting various bad guys in a hallway.
We're probably crossing this.
Okay, all right.
Have to say that one.
The action scenes, I will say, is kind of good. There's two action scenes that were kind of good there.
Nah.
And this is really two, not even two. Can you give me one? Is it one?
I didn't mind some of the car chase scene. But it's really only because of the CGI shots. And even the CGI didn't look that good in them. So I liked the way it was put together, but I didn't. Lots of people are saying it's fun. Lots of people are saying, it's just turn off your brain. No.
You have to.
Not for me.
The whole wink and the smile thing only works if you do it right. This was not done right.
Nope.
So I don't believe so, no.
This is absolutely on my worst of the year list.
Oh, is it?
For sure. It may even be my number one.
Holy shit.
Dwayne Johnson is fast becoming my most hated actor.
Is he your Kevin Hart?
No.
Ironically.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting to spoilers.
No, he's not my Kevin Hart. He's not that bad because he did Welcome to Jumanji or The Jungle, Jumanji 2, and I love that movie. I thought it was really good.
Inexplicably, Paul loved that movie.
So he's capable of good, and Skyscraper was okay, and Rampage was shit. So he's just turning out shit film after shit film.
Here's the thing. When you pay a guy that much money, he's the biggest star in the world, they say. I mean, do whatever you want. I don't care. I just don't have to watch it. Actually, no, I do, because I do this show.
It's Is there anything else you want to point out as being good?
I think you all know what we think.
It's a hard not recommend. You'll get to scores at the end, but this is a terrible film. And I'm glad it's not making the money that the last one made. It doesn't deserve to.
That's right. And by the way, we get it. We get like ridiculous action.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I laughed once in this entire movie, which I'll again talk about spoiled. The rest of the unintentional laughs I got were nowhere near as big or belly laughs as I got in the last couple of Fast and Furious franchises. This film, even at that level, is not as good. It's not bad enough to be great.
Doesn't Tyrese not agree with this film? Like the spin-off?
What's with Tyrese? It's Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel hates this whole thing.
Yeah, but Tyrese did like this tweet where he's like, yo, man, you know, this didn't do as well as ours. Obviously, it's a bad idea to break up the family.
Yep.
So there you are again.
He's bitter as well. All right, well, let's get into everything else about this film on the other side of the spoilers. Why don't we start, Wayne, with where you checked out of the film twice?
Sure. Now, I apparently checked out much later than Paul. The first checkout I had was when The Rock and his 200 brothers chose to face off against the armed soldiers wearing nothing but like the traditional garb of their...
Yeah, but that means you got like 100 minutes through the film. You're like, this is all right. Yep.
I was already like, this is shit. But the checkout moment is where I can't accept it anymore.
Okay.
So I was already having problems, see? So they are using prehistoric weapons and are naked, basically. Going up against guys with guns and jeeps and fucking shit like that and helicopters and crap, okay? So I'm like, oh, come on, right? That was it. That was the first checkout.
Well, I'll go you one better than that in that scene, which is the final scene of the film, which should never have taken place. There's an extra 30 minutes in this movie, which completely did not need to be.
It's just, 5-minute grabs that could have gone everywhere.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But they know somehow that Idris Elba's, what's his name?
I can't remember.
Something Law.
Black Jesus.
No, that's Kanye West.
Oh, right.
You meant Black Superman. Brixton. It was Brixton Law was his name.
Yes, good.
So this augmented. For starters, I had a lot of problems with that. Why just augment him to that level? Why aren't they augmenting everybody else?
Well, I noticed this in the movie. He actually addresses his troops at one stage and says, earn your upgrades. So it turns out some of them are enhanced.
But we don't see any evidence.
No, we don't. They look like normal dudes, and he's the Superman.
And Statham and The Rock are knocking them down as if they're normal dudes. So that's crap.
It's so inconsistently shit.
Yes,
that's shit.
But they know they're coming, and they put flares along the road that they're coming in on
to show them that they're
coming. Why not just put fucking bombs down?
Yeah.
Or have a line about, "Geez, if only we had bombs."
Yeah, at least thin out
landmines. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've got fireworks and shit and stuff that blows up in the air, but no bombs.
But no bombs.
Yeah, really weird. Just put a handful of fucking nuts and bolts in there, man. You'll just shrapnel them out.
Yep.
Anyway, so
that's also shit. Yes, the traditional garb is staying there. Why weren't they just mowed down at that point before they managed to turn off their weapons conveniently?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Centralized control of weapons, which I guess could happen, but why? I don't know.
Yeah, and then what was your next moment?
Okay,
then
the next really moment,
which is obviously right in the film.
Oh my god! And I have to do this thing. Okay, at the end of the film, if you haven't watched it and you're listening to this, I totally understand because you shouldn't be watching this movie anyway. There's a scene where they have all their cars, of course, because it's a Fast and Furious film, which is being beset by this large attack helicopter, and The Rock somehow gets on the back of his pickup truck and throws this chain over the wing of the helicopter. And snags it.
The you mean the brace? The leg.
It's a wing because it's an attack helicopter. It's got wings with missiles on it.
Okay, yeah.
So now the helicopter is tethered to his car and the helicopter is threatening to pull the car off the road and off a cliff, which is where they're driving. What then happens is all the rest of the cars come and they somehow link up together from bumper to bumper to stop the fucking helicopter from taking off because of the combined weight. Now, there's a scene in here where they have electronic hooks that come up out of the bumper to link cars, which means they anticipated a helicopter trying to pull them all off a cliff.
Or the need to link cars for some purpose.
What a bunch of shit. Then there's a moment where apparently if the car that's at the end, which only has two wheels on the road because everything else has been dragged off the cliff, has got nitrous on it, which somehow it weighs more than a helicopter and the rest of the cars. This is the kind of bullshit we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But the scene that I got checked out on is that The Rock gets over, the chain comes loose from the fucking truck and it's about to let the helicopter go, but The Rock grabs it and he's now the thing that's linking the helicopter to all these
basically
cars.
Basically saying the eight cars weren't needed.
Exactly, but also that The Rock can withstand that, you know, and there's even a shot where Idris Elba looks and goes, what? And I'm like, no fucking way. That was the real checkout. So I just thought it was the whole piece of shit, man. I hate this piece of crap.
I checked out when they were running down the side of a building for the first time.
Now, that's one of the action scenes that I thought was at least...
I hated it.
But it looked good. At that stage, I thought
the CGI was pretty
average.
Really?
They're running down a building?
The physics laws in that were even more dubious than most of these films.
I was still in. I'm like, okay, I like this scene because it looked nice.
But then we had a scene where Hobbs and Shaw having lost... So, by the way, okay. I think the film's trying to tell us that... Or trying to lead us down a path that Vanessa Kirby's character, Hattie, isn't... Related to Jason Statham. And the only weapon in its arsenal to convince you of that is the fact that the two of them are 21 years different in age, which would be fine if not for the fact that we get flashbacks showing that they are 2 years different in age.
That's right.
Fuck this movie. That is so fucking dumb.
How old is Vanessa Kirby presented to be in this film? 31.
Well, she's 31 in real life. He's 52.
In real life?
Yes.
Oh, he's doing very well. I would have bought him as a 30-something. Probably, if I had to.
But, you know, like, Hollywood, come on.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous.
You're right. But, like, at this stage, that's the least offensive bullshit. Yeah.
So that's stupid that they try. Because I immediately went, well, that's clearly her.
Yeah.
That chick. And then we have a scene where Jason Statham goes to her apartment for no apparent reason except to have an action scene. Oh, and to link that he must know who she... Fucking idiotic. Cut that whole 10-minute bullshit out. But you know why it's in there?
Because it's a reveal?
No, well, it's in there because in both Statham and The Rock's contracts is a I must not be seen to be a bigger pussy than the other guy clause.
Is that so?
Which literally means the number of punches that they take or the times they get knocked down must not be greater than the other guy. Can you
really
fucking believe
that's
this?
Real?
Apparently.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's real.
So they have to add in extra scenes to bring all this shit up to be equal.
So wait a minute. There's a scene in the movie where the two guys inexplicably go down a corridor.
Which you referred to earlier. Yep.
Which is separated by a piece of glass. Mm-hmm. I don't know who builds that corridor, but whatever.
Well, yeah, why? Why have these two corridors with perspex glass where 20 dudes are on one side watching one dude work on a piece of equipment on the other?
Exactly. And how do they decide to measure that? So listen, guys, they could come down either of these corridors. All of you go down one corridor, and the big guy, you go down the other one, all right? And by the way, in that scene, Jason Statham kicks ass and busts all their asses, even though they got guns and shit. The Rock takes out one guy with a hit. So they must have had to really, like, Jason Statham made like 2,000 hits, The Rock makes one. How did they fucking filter that?
I think in that final scene,
The Rock does more shit.
Jason Statham's doing a lot of driving and stuff.
Yeah,
and
the Rock's
doing
like
a lot of
everything
else, including holding fucking...
Ah, God, what a bunch of crap. It
so
is such crap.
That really shabby. But the moment I really checked out is when they've lost Hattie and off she goes and they have to rescue her from the Ukraine or wherever the hell it is, the big action sequence there where the corridors and all that stuff and they get caught and tortured and blah, blah, blah. They stop in on Jason Statham's ex-squeeze. I'm not sure they ever quite... Well, first of all, they pause in his underground base where he's got 17 cars, including the car from the Italian job, where he goes, I did that in a fucking car.
Look, I kind of didn't mind that. I'll be honest with you, I didn't mind that.
That was dumb. Just have it there. Don't need to fucking point it out. It's enough to see it there. But this is the kind of movie that it is.
Well, see, this
it's
is the thing.
It's insulting.
You know what? I should clarify here. If you do something like that, or the two wheels, or the helicopter in a film, you just have to make it very obvious that it's a parody. This was not played with the correct tone to make me laugh, only to make me cry. So...
Anyway, then they go and visit somewhere in Russia.
Yes, that's right.
This
change location.
Group of models who are all have just taken out a bunch of Russian mobsters
that's right.
with their superior skills and
this.
Their breasts hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like, what year are we in?
There's that, but it's more.
And that's all they exist for.
The thing that offends me most is just the fact that they didn't execute it correctly.
No, like they literally just have. There's one Asian one, there's one blonde one, and there's one Latino one, and there's one African American one. And it's like, what the fuck is going on here? And I'm done. Fuck this movie at that point.
That doesn't offend me as much as the fucking stupid chain. So, I don't know.
But I'm saying I was done well before that point.
Yeah.
I was done well before then. And I hated that whole RC and just felt like The Rock's flexing his not inconsiderable muscles so he can go and have a holiday himself.
And
drags the whole production.
Well, he's a producer, man. That's how it is. You go
fucking
home.
Hated this
By
movie.
The way, what did you think of the cameos?
Oh, yeah. But Ryan Reynolds is terrible.
Ryan Reynolds.
He's just playing Deadpool.
You know what? Ryan Reynolds was fine. He was given shit lines.
I disagree.
Really?
I think he was given a market a hit and he went in his way and it just doesn't work because he's just fucking doing Deadpool again.
No, he's just doing... I don't think he was Deadpool. He was Ryan Reynolds-ing. So he's got the tattoo and this sort of thing.
He even makes reference to fucking skin being all burnt and whatever. It's like he's trying to channel that. It's it's garbage.
I mean, look, it wasn't his best performance, but I think it wasn't the best movie. So.
It's terrible. And then Kevin Hart fucking terrible. Your the favorite? Whole film grinds to a halt to have, and he exists purely to get them somehow. And by the way, the timeline of this movie does not work at all.
Oh, none of this.
I think it's like 36 hours or whatever from the time that Hattie stabs herself with the fucking, which is really smart, by the way, stab yourself with the super virus,
yeah,
and then slip away, no worries.
Let's talk about that. For some reason, the virus, which by the way, when it's extracted from her, it fits in a vial.
Yep.
All right. But for some reason, when they're transporting it, it's only fitting in this massive unit, and the only way to get it out is to inject it into yourself. But it can clearly be carried as a vial. Why wouldn't it be? No. This is ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a piece of shit, this movie.
So yeah, 36 hours, give or take, I think they make the point of saying. So somehow they've gone around this entire world. How long do you reckon it takes to fly?
Yeah, there were many.
From London to Ukraine.
Ukraine, Moscow, you know, whatever, yeah.
Buttfuck Ukraine. And then from buttfuck Ukraine to Samoa. And then have time still for the next morning.
A couple of days of traveling. A couple of days of traveling, maybe.
I would think at least.
Yeah.
And we live in the most isolated major city of more than a million people in the world.
It's a couple of days to get anywhere from
and
here.
And it takes, unless you're just flying in Australia, it takes fucking forever to get anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So we have an airport like 10 or 15 minutes right from here.
Totally.
So what the fuck?
No, they've got no time for
that. Doesn't
this
work
shit
at all. And so they create this Kevin Hart character just to get them from A to B apparently quick enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that's only one of the contrivances. There's one bit where these guys run out of a house and there's a lawn, a big, huge lawn, and there's an F-15, like, fighter jet waiting to take them somewhere. I'm like, how did that land, everyone? It's not a Harrier jump jet that goes straight up. It's a damn Strike Eagle fucking fighter jet. Nah, no problem. I can just go. It's fine.
All right, I think we've bashed this enough. We need to wrap it up. This is a piece of shit. Yeah. How big a piece of shit, Wayne? What are you giving it?
How big a piece of shit? Yep. At the end, The Rock says, "You may believe in machines, but we believe in people." That's him admonishing the bad people. It is the corniest, dumbest shit
that's
ever.
That's as corny as the volcano in, like, when everyone's covered in ash. Hey, we're all the same.
Balls. Yeah, you're right. This is 23.
23. All right, I'm going slightly lower. There's a shock. I'm giving this 18.
18.
There's a moment in this film where The Rock says to Jason Statham, "Working with you is like dragging your balls across broken glass. Watching this movie is that way, Dwayne Johnson."
I was just, you know what? If it had been as good as one of the Fast and Furious, which is not good, okay? I don't like.
I find them entertaining.
The first one was great, not because it was great, but because it was.
I find the last
funny
couple really entertaining because they're so dumb and over the top.
I think five, but
they've got. Yeah. You know what it is? Here it is in a nutshell. Final thought: they have this large group of characters who you don't ever spend too long with any one of them.
You're not bored with,
right? Like, so and they all have this. In the world, it is this sort of lived-in relationship, and they are bouncing off each other. Whereas when it's just these two, and Vanessa Kirby desperately trying on the outside to sort of act as moderator, it's tiresome.
It's the same note.
It'd just be like Vin Diesel versus The Rock the entire... It's tiresome.
Yeah.
But when there's four or five other dudes and girls in there as well
to
mix
it
up,
it's
all right.
Yeah.
Like, we get a little bit more going on, and that I do feel more connected. There's more charm.
Having said that, there have been, like, great pairings and, like, you know, like Lethal Weapon or something.
Of course they can.
They're playing different notes or whatever. It's just a deeper relationship. So who knows? Yeah, a piece of shit. So don't see it.
Don't at all. That's our review of The Countdown. A massive fail for Knobs and Bore.
By the way, lots of people obviously have seen this movie. So if you don't agree.
And lots of people don't.
Yeah.
We are.
If you love it,
as
hit us up, man.
Any review that I've heard, to be brutally honest, but that is I'm kind of pleased
lots of people,
that you had it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, lots of people, like, I've seen online reviews of people, like, well-known people, they quite liked it and genuinely said, it was fun. I thought it was ass.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Right.
If we got it wrong, or indeed you just want to talk to us about any other thing, you can hit us up on email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc, or in our Facebook listening community, which is probably where we spend most of our time. Search for The Countdown Moving TV Reviews on Facebook to find that one. We're hosted by Podbean, and indeed, you can find us at ccradio.com.au, our Australian website, and check out all the other great shows as part of the network.
Sweet.
That is it from us today. We'll be back next week with another feature review, of course, the main episode out on Tuesdays. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And here is a message for the Fast and Furious from the soundboard.
I fart in your general direction.
Finally an apt one. All right.
Catch you next time. Yeah. I'm on the next level. Next level. On the next level. They all trying to catch up to my next level. Next level. On the next level. Check it out, check it out, check it out.